Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here as usual with Jim Healy on a sunny Thursday, July the 2nd. Good morning, Jim. What's going on? What are you on? Mic 2? What is...
I'm on mic 2.
Well, what's the problem here, Jim? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, they can hear me. Hold on. Pull in, would you pull over mic number 3 there? Pull that in front of you.
Good morning.
Yeah, okay.
So why is...
What happened? What happened in this room since we were last here, Jim? It's chaos. Okay, well, we got time to figure this out. We got the whole show. We got the whole hour in front of us. Keep talking into mic 3, and when we pause and take a little musical break, it's probably just unplugged somewhere, right?
I'm unsettled.
I know. The whole morning is thrown off.
I count on everything being the way it should be, and...
Yeah, you're not sitting where you usually sit?
No, the needle is out of the groove.
Okay, let's start this whole thing again.
Okay, let's start it over again.
I'm Jack, you're Jim.
Today I am.
Yes, and we're here on Thursday, July 2nd, and it's sunny.
And it's the first Thursday in July, which mm-hmm. means that 2026, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, has just whooshed.
It has. Okay, we have some housekeeping items to talk about before we get to
Connie.
Before we
and
get to
1776
Connie.
At the Panada tonight.
Okay, question for you, Jim.
Oh gosh,
are you still looking for CDs?
I am still looking for CDs and mm-hmm. DVDs for the KRFY Sidewalk Day sale, the last Saturday in July this month, and it's the 25th. And what we do is bring in donated CDs and DVDs, and with CDs, I will check them to see if, well, you know, I've mentioned this too before, mm-hmm. I get excited over like Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA CD, and I open it up and it's Celine Dion in there,
mm-hmm.
and I go, whoa. So, yeah, bring them in, and I'll see if we have them in our iTunes library, and if we don't, I'll import them, and then this is a fundraiser, because we do have expenses,
mm-hmm.
and whether it runs all the way from ASCAP and BMI fees for playing the music, to which I'm sure Connie is aware of, fees, because you're putting on a musical,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Gotta pay for the rights, yep.
Pay for the rights. We're sitting around with new microphones and insurance. You know, let's say, for example, as I go underneath the board here to fix this mic that doesn't work and I get electrocuted.
Let's not go there, Jim. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, you know, if you have DVDs, CDs, bring them down to the radio station here at 323 North First Avenue. Mm-hmm. We're right above the Cakery.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be terribly appreciative of your donations.
Okay.
What else? What else? Housekeeping?
Yeah, I have more items. Let's see. Velma Queen of Fun is back in town.
Yeah,
she has been for, I think, about a month now. But she is continuing to do Wednesday nights.
Absolutely wonderful to have Velma back in our neck of the woods, in our time zone.
So you can listen to her on this radio station on Wednesday nights starting at 6 o'clock.
Hump Day Cafe.
She plays great music. And apparently she messes around with microphone number 2 because she was the last person in this studio. And we're going to have work.
Wasn't she at the board?
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, who else could have done it? She's the only person with the key.
Is this the blame game?
This is it. Yep. We're going to give her a call later on. Find out what she was doing on that side of the board.
She was everywhere.
No. Yeah. Let's see. I want to say that tomorrow on North Idaho News of the Week, we're talking parking. How's your parking experience so far, Jim?
Oh, pull the scab off
that. I know, yeah.
Well, we went down 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and we paid our $20 each to park in the city lot, and we have yet to receive our parking permit, so I'm putting the receipt in the window.
Mm-hmm.
$20 receipt, you know, and I have no idea.
No tickets yet, though, at least. I hope. Okay.
If it has, it's blown off the windshield. I have not seen it. But, you know, it's going to take some getting used to, some working out, and I think we need to be patient. But I don't want a ticket on my car.
Yeah. Well, it's all that anybody can talk about these days, so we're going to join the fun. And tomorrow I'm talking to Zach Hagedon about parking. Parking, implementing the new parking plan. And,
okay.
And I think Sansori Mitchell is going to come in and talk a little bit about what's going on at the Lake Pendere School District as well. Big news over there.
Okie dokie.
That's tomorrow. And then another show that people will want to tune in for, I think, and I'll advertise it right now, is next week we're talking to board members of the Panetta Theater. Connie, you will probably be keenly interested as well. Just talking about what's going on over there.
That would be Thursday, the second Thursday of July, July 9th.
It looks like it's going to be Amy Flint, who's the current chair of, or interim chair, I think, of the board of directors, and Steve Garvin coming in next week at 8 o'clock in the morning at this time.
There
you go.
That means if we don't get electrocuted here. I'm just fascinated by why that's not working, and that's going to be, I'm going to be unfocused. But let's talk about the play.
Let us turn our focus to Connie Keene, the founder.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Founder, and are you, what's your title with Honey Pearl Productions?
Queen Bee.
Co-founder of Honey Pearl Productions, along with my husband, who you'll get to talk to here in a little bit. And so far, I've directed all of our plays.
Okay.
How many?
This is 1776 is our third play and our first musical.
Ooh. And, well, we could talk a while about the challenges of a musical as opposed to, what were the other two?
The other two, our first was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and then we did Cheaper by the Dozen.
Okay. Okay. But let's focus in on let me get out the information. It is at the Panetta Theater. The doors will open 45 minutes before showtime, and tonight at 7 p.m., July 2nd, tomorrow night, the 3rd, at 7 p.m., Saturday, the 4th, at 7 p.m., and Sunday, a matinee at 3 p.m. And again, the doors open 45 minutes before the event, and it's at the Panetta Theater.
And tickets are $25 plus taxes and fees.
Okay.
And you can get it online.
You can get it at, you know, at thepanetta.org or on our website, honeypearlproductions.com. Either place will get you there.
Okay. There's your details as far as getting tickets, but how about the show? 1776 is a musical that I'm guessing many people have heard of, but then probably a lot of people have never heard of it. It was the main musical about the founding of the country until Hamilton came along, and then it seems like it's been slightly forgotten. Unjustly so.
Yes, it's a really good show. It previewed on Broadway in the late 60s, but you know it's kind of known as being in the 70s because it was like 69 that it premiered on Broadway, and it was turned into a movie starring the same guy who played John Adams on Broadway, was in the movie, who's also plays Mr. Feeny in Boy Meets World. So all my millennials out there know who I'm talking about. And it was a huge hit. And at the time, it was a politically tense time. And I guess there was a lot of fear that a play about the founding of the country would flop and that people wouldn't have a taste for it. But then it was wildly successful, got turned into a movie right away, and won Tonys, and you know, I was exposed to it because I watched it in AP US history class in high school, and I've heard a lot of history teachers use 1776 for that purpose because it's actually pretty accurate.
Historically, it's accurate.
Yes.
And what period of time, and obviously 1776, but when in 1776, and what city, and what's the time frame
in Philadelphia City.
There we go. Okay.
They will mention Philadelphia quite a bit if you come see the show, and it's about the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
It's about the signing of it.
John Adams, Ben Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson basically trying to round up Congress and get them to declare that this should be a free nation.
And how many people in the cast?
There are 26.
And what are some of the challenges that you're facing with 1776, a musical, as opposed to Cheaper by the Dozen?
Right. The first challenge that we were really scared about is getting that many men to participate. Ah. I mean, that was really stressful. And I thought, what am I doing? We're not going to have enough guys show up. And what if I can't cast it? And then I'm going to have to call people and beg them to, you know, come be in the show. And thankfully, we had enough folks show up, exactly enough. You know, we didn't cut anyone to be in the cast. But that said, the cast is very strong. I mean, there are people in the show. There's someone in the show who was a professional, classically trained singer. And the talent is going to blow people away. So that was the first fear. And then,
well, one of the things you could have done is what Shakespeare did. Women became...
We have a couple.
Sorry.
We do have a couple pants rolls that worked out really well, too.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. So we've got some women playing men, but it's 20 men are in the cast and six women. And then the next challenge is your sound has to be more locked in when you're doing a musical.
Are the people individually mic'd?
They are.
Okay, so
there's
like
levels and balance. Perfect. And yeah, it's just a lot more than a straight play. And thankfully, we have a guy who's kind of a semi-professional sound dude named Klein York who came on, and he's managed the sound. And it's been just a huge blessing to have someone who really knows what they're doing. But we didn't know we would even have him, you know, at the beginning. He kind of came on later. And so sound is the biggest challenge, but we're going to be fine. When people come to the show, they'll know that the sound is locked in.
And age appropriate for the, you know, people with families.
I would say that it claims that it's rated G, but I don't think that's a correct rating. I think it's a strong PG.
Okay.
There is some language, you know, the men talk like men. They're not dropping F-bombs or anything like that, but there is some swearing and there's some innuendo.
Okay.
And I'm pretty conservative with what I let my children. My oldest child just turned 6. And I'm pretty conservative with what I let them watch. We don't even have a TV at home. However, I'm comfortable with letting my 2 older littles watch it because the innuendo, it goes over their head.
Sure,
they don't
even
know.
They're more with the spectacle, the movement on the stage, the music and that sort of thing.
Right. So I would say, you know, a child who's can sit for 3 hours, who's 5 or 6 older could handle it.
Okay. And, who is waiting in the wings? We're going to say goodbye to Connie. She has set the stage, in a manner of speaking, for the folks coming up next. And then, because we're a small studio here, and not everybody could be here. So who's waiting in the wings?
Yes, we have Eric Gregg, who's playing Benjamin Franklin, Stephen Keane, who's playing Thomas Jefferson, and Evan Young, who is our lead, playing John Adams. And we also have Katie Skidmore here, who is our music director.
Okay. And anything that you want to say before we say goodbye to you?
Yeah, I would like to say that, of course, this show is about the founding of our country, right? And the signing of the Declaration, it's very timely. We've got 4th of July, America's 250th. But I think with most good stories, there's kind of an underlying theme as well. And the underlying theme of this show is actually about marriage and the relationship between John Adams and Abigail Adams. And Martha Jefferson and Thomas Jefferson are sort of examined too. Not as much, but they are a part of the storyline as well. And so, you know, asking questions like how much should a man sacrifice his own family, his own relationships to go do something great? And how much should a wife or a woman sacrifice if she's in that situation where she's married to a man who's changing the world? And how these powerful, amazing men were backed up by amazing women.
Excellent.
I think I fixed microphone number 2, Jim.
What happened?
There you go. Fixed it.
What happened? Tell me.
I don't know exactly. Okay. Loose connections, you know.
Okay. So we're going to say goodbye to Connie. Should we play a song?
Yes.
And
a song of your choosing, Jim.
Okay.
Then we do have Connie sent over some backing music that we can have our our actors actually sing a song here in the studio.
Perfect. Yeah. Connie, thank you so much, not only for, you know, putting on the play and whatever, but all the good that you do in the community.
Oh,
you
thank you.
Theater is important.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is a song that I just listened to over the weekend that it really hooked me as I head into this coming weekend. It's Mavis Staples along with Levon Helm, the drummer from the band. He, you know, the night they drove Old Dixie down and whatever, and Mavis Staples from the Staples Singers. This is a song called This Is My Country here on 88.5 KRFY.
Right to say it's my country.
My country.
Before they give in, they'd rather fuss and fight.
Mavis Staples and Levon Helm, This Is My Country. That's off an album called Carry Me Home. And you're listening to The Morning
Great
Show.
Great album.
On 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson. That's Jim Healy. We've changed the other people, the other voices in the studio. That album, Jim, came out in 2022.
Yeah.
Levon Helm died in about, what, 2014 or something?
He doesn't have any vocals on it. It's just, I think it, he drums and they use his recording studio.
Yeah. He's on it, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, it was recorded.
If you look it up, it'll say Mavis Staples and Levon Helm.
It was recorded in the 2000s, obviously, when Levon was still alive, and then the tracks were just kind of buried and then uncovered and released in 2022. To critical acclaim and the acclaim
Jack,
of Jim Healy. Yes.
We're not alone.
No, we're not.
And it's sort of crowded in here.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's drop the disco ball and put on the music.
Okay, here we go. It's we got Eric Gregg, who plays Ben Franklin. Hi, Eric.
Hello there.
There he is. That's a good Ben Franklin voice. Stephen Keen plays Thomas Jefferson.
Good morning.
Good morning. That's a good Thomas Jefferson voice. That's good. Evan Young plays John Adams.
Howdy, howdy.
That's not a very good John Adams voice.
I'm sure he didn't say that.
Yeah. Okay. Also in the studio, Abigail Young, who plays Charles Thompson.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Katie Skidmore, who is the music director.
That's correct.
Okay. And I think we're going to start off with a little more music, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So let me cue that up, and you gentlemen gather around, I guess, those two microphones. Okay. I'm going to turn off this. There. Okay. Oh. No, I'm not going to turn that one off. I'm going to turn that off. There. Okay, hopefully this works. Say something into the mics real quick.
Something into the mics.
Yeah, okay, so it's still picking you up.
Something there.
Yeah, a little bit. Cool. Okay. And we're going to turn off the other two microphones, and we're going to play a little backing music for you, and you're going to sing something now. This is the cast, some of the cast of 1776 on stage at the Panada this weekend starting tonight.
It's a masterpiece, I say. They will cheer every word, every letter.
I wish I felt that way.
I believe I can put it better. Now then attend as friend to friend our declaration committee. For us I see immortality in Philadelphia City. A farmer, a lawyer, and a sage are a bit gouty in the leg. You know it's quite bizarre to think that here we are playing midwives to an egg.
Egg? What egg?
America, the birth of a new nation.
If only we could be certain what kind of bird it's going to be.
Tom's got a point. What sort of bird should we choose as the symbol of our new America?
The eagle.
The dove.
The turkey.
The eagle.
The dove.
The eagle.
The eagle.
The turkey.
The eagle is a majestic bird.
The eagle's a scavenger, a thief, and a coward. A symbol of over 10 centuries of European mischief.
And the turkey?
A truly noble bird, a native of America, a source of sustenance to our settlers, and an incredibly brave fellow who wouldn't back down from attacking an entire regiment of Englishmen single-handedly. Therefore, the national bird of America is going to be...
The eagle!
The eagle.
Okay. Well, You guys sound great. Hopefully the microphones in the studio picked that up and translated it accordingly to our listening audience at home. But it did. No, it sounded great here in the studio.
Thank you. Thanks.
That's exciting. This will be fun to watch on stage, on the big stage.
Oh yeah.
Where are you guys in the rehearsal process right now? Well, I guess rehearsals are done.
We're opening night.
It's opening night.
Have you been on the stage at the Panity yet?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All this week.
They've been.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And last.
The past 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you got your places, everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's ready to go.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay.
Rock and roll.
How did you guys get the parts that you went out for? Did you know when you apply, what do you call it? Auditioned? When you auditioned for these parts? Is this who you wanted to be in the play?
No, not for me. I went in maybe thinking Rutledge, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So just figured I'd let Connie figure it out, and she did. It worked great.
You ended up as Ben Franklin.
I sure did.
Okay.
Yeah, she took me aside and was like, I think I might want to have you as Ben Franklin. I was like, I guess I'll do it.
Well, he's committed. He's shaved his head for the role.
Yes,
so.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Have you really?
Yes, I have.
Yes, he has.
Whoa.
No, like, actually, I'm not kidding.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you got the classic Ben Franklin long on the sides and a little off on top.
Exactly.
Do you wear, now you haven't actually shaved your full head.
No, no.
So do you wear a skull cap or something?
No, what we do is just a lot of makeup and then we slick the hair back.
Slick it back,
and then prosthetics and makeup on top of the face.
Yeah. It looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you excited to have spend the rest of your summer growing that back in?
Yeah, I'll probably end up doing that. But yeah, shout out to our makeup, Ben Franklin makeup person, Marissa. She does a great job.
Okay, Stefan?
Yes.
Okay, you are, did you just get assigned a part, or did you have to audition for a part?
No, I had to audition. Yeah. Connie is very impartial.
Mm-hmm.
She would have cut me if there were enough people and I was the worst.
Yeah, and your relationship to Connie is?
She's my wife.
I thought so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no sympathy there.
She tries to be, tries to separate the personal from business.
Yeah. Did you want to be Thomas Jefferson or did you?
Nope.
Who did you want to be?
I wanted to be Dickinson, the antagonist character, because I wanted to be the bad guy, but instead I get to be the quiet, shy, nerdy guy.
Yeah. Well, the villain's always the most fun.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. And Evan? You are John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that who you wanted to play?
No. I had no expectations on what I was going to wear. It was funny because Eric reminded me of auditions like 3 days before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I do want to go do that. That's a really good idea. So I was like, all right, I'm going to show up and whatever part I get, it's going to be fine. And they're like, you got the lead.
Yeah.
Okay, I got the lead. Here we go.
He actually got the part that I wanted him to get. I am his wife.
Okay.
And I wanted him to get John Adams so that I could be Abigail Adams.
Yeah.
He definitely got John Adams, and it worked great, but I did not get Abigail Adams.
And
so that didn't work out for me.
and your name is Abigail.
My name, real life name, is actually Abigail.
It would have been so easy.
It would have been so great. He would have been John Adams, and I would have been Abigail Adams, and we could have sung to each other on stage.
But wait, wait
I
until
had
you
stars
see,
in my eyes.
Wait until you see her as Charles Thompson.
Yes.
She kills it.
It was not the part I thought I was going to get. I got the part awarded to me, and they were like, you're going to be Charles Thompson. I was like, who in the world is Charles Thompson? And I had to look it up, and I was like, you mean you made me the congressional secretary?
Well,
I don't... What?
Well,
who is that?
And it's interesting, because you were the one who told me this when you looked up Charles Thompson's character, or the history of Charles Thompson. He was the one who suggested the eagle.
Yes, he is the one who actually designed the seal of the United States of America.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the seal that we use today on our coins. Yeah,
I did not know that.
He designed it.
Okay.
He did a translation of the Bible. It's actually the Thompson translation. He was kind of a nerd, actually. But, I'm really enjoying
playing him. And Abigail is not, by any chance.
Oh,
no, not at all.
Wouldn't touch nerdery with a 2-foot fork or something.
Okay, the last voice here, we got to ask how you got involved. Katie Skidmore, your music director.
Yes.
Were you on board from the jump, or when did you get involved with the play?
So when Connie started the company a couple years ago, she already knew she wanted to do 1776, and she asked me then
Okay.
And I said, check with me again when the time comes. But yeah, I'm all for it. And this show is new to me and I fell in love with it. It's hilarious. And it's actually kind of a one hit wonder for the composer. He did have like other standards that he wrote, like pop songs at the time. But like he spent several years researching this. He was a history teacher. This was his love, like language, his project. He tried to get it off the ground. And I'm so grateful because it's a fantastic show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's so interesting that it is a musical. Yeah. I don't know that I don't know anything about the writing of the play or anything. Apparently you do. But
well,
like,
which at the time, because of the war, like because of Vietnam and everything, it was really controversial. And so Peter Stone, who came in and wrote the book for the play, he came in and sort of took it and made it more humorous and made it more, I mean, it already was kind of a criticism. I mean, not, you know, saying like these were men, real men.
Yeah.
And so they weren't perfect. And obviously things about the Declaration weren't completely perfect. And they had to make sacrifices to get it signed, to get everybody on board. That's the conflict that comes in. But yeah, the guy that wrote it ended up doing, I think he wrote Charade. Do you know the movie Charade?
I do know that movie.
Yeah,
with Cary Grant.
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn, Cary Grant. So he wrote a couple of hit movies and he came in and wrote the book for the show and it ended up being fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's a dramatic tale, obviously. It's as I think everybody's learned in, you know, seventh grade history class, kind of what happened or whatever grade that is that you take that. It focuses on John Adams, who's not who we think of as the writer of the Declaration of Independence, but you're kind of the, John plays kind of the, I don't know, what is he, the wheeler dealer?
The agitator. Well,
the lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throughout the play, he's trying to keep people focused on a Congress that is, you know, very much in their own world, very much on their own focus, you know, a sovereignty of states, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to unify them in order to keep back the threat of the British army. And to keep our country from being completely overtaken, completely controlled, especially with the conflicts that went on in Boston, you know, the Boston Tea Party and stuff like that, and all the different ways in which the king was being a tyrant. Boston felt that very directly, and so that's who John Adams represents as Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And so where everybody else is like, "What? Leave me alone! You know, my state's great. We're feeling awesome. We've got great economy, and we're fat and happy over here. Leave us alone." And it's just like, if we don't all work together, we're all going to fall together. So it's John Adams trying to keep the glue together where we got Ben Franklin over here who's sleeping all the time and trying to keep him on track. And
well, another aspect of the play is the friendship between Ben Franklin and John Adams and also Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. And and Ben Franklin is going around manipulating people and making them do what he wants.
Them
coercing. Yeah, that's how he worked it, right?
He's not manipulating.
Trying to grease the skids and make everybody do what they want. And there's some very, very funny things that come out of that. So.
Yeah. Well, and at the same time, you have to remember that at the time, they were doing things that were absolutely treasonous, but they were doing it because they felt as though they, in many ways, had absolutely no other recourse. And the lot of the play is trying to convince the other colonies that this treason is necessary in order to be able to survive.
Exactly.
In many ways they're having to come against someone who has turned into a tyrant, and they're trying to justify it and convince other people that no, this really is in all of our best interest. You may not like the idea of being disloyal to our, you know, mother country, however, we're past the point of no return. And John Adams comes in is trying to convince the other colonies to come behind him, and there's many who are very slow to do that, and that's the majority of the play. It's a really interesting concept to think about, even in modern day. Where do our loyalties lie, and why? And it's a fascinating idea, even today.
And an important distinction with that too is the king and the agreement that they had initially were being violated.
Absolutely,
they were overstepping their bounds, and it's like, you leave us no other choice.
Right.
We have to do this.
Yeah, no recourse. Mm-hmm. You don't have any other options.
Yep.
The funniest thing that I've learned about the writing of the Declaration was that the King George wrote a response to the Declaration.
I did not know that.
And he basically said, I'm a king, I'm your king, and this is my job. And he thought that that would just settle them right
now. Oh, fat George.
You're my subjects. Listen to me.
We're talking to Eric Gregg, Stephen Keen, Evan Young, Abigail Young, and Katie Skidmore about the play 1776, which kicks off tonight at the Panada Theater. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. Paul Gunter from the Festival of Sandpoint is waiting in the wings to jump on and talk to us one last time before that concert series begins. Mm. Thomas Jefferson actually did write the Declaration of Independence. That's not a myth, right?
Yes, and John Adams was pushing heavily for him to do it. John Adams apparently also pushed heavily for George Washington to be the commander-in-chief, in part so that they could get Virginia on board with independence. Yeah. So, yes.
I love that detail. That's one of the things that I know about Ben Franklin is he actually did want the turkey to be the bird.
There's a lot of historical accuracies and direct quotes in this. Not the musical portions, but you know the rest of it. There's a lot from history. I feel like every other rehearsal, somebody comes over and goes, you know, he actually said that. I'm like, no kidding. I thought that was just funny for the play. It's really fascinating.
Well, on the other side of that is we keep it fun and funny. The whole play, you'll be laughing. It's not dry.
You know, treason, but music.
Yeah. Not treason, independence.
Ah, yes.
Yes. from a certain point of view. Let's see. Well, who else? Charles Thompson, we know. John Adams, we know. Ben Franklin, we know. Thomas Jefferson, we know. Or I did not know Charles Thompson. Who else is, who's not here in the room with us?
One of my favorite characters is Richard Henry Lee. Mm-hmm. And R. Lee is just amazing, just hilarious.
Flawless casting. Mm-hmm. Flawless
casting. So that's something to look forward to. What about you, Evan?
Dickinson is such an interesting character, too, because he comes to a different conclusion by the end of the play. I won't spoil it. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to know that he loved America just as much as John Adams was just as passionate in that way, but he came about it in a different direction. And so I find that to be a very interesting character.
Hmm. Yeah.
We also have Hancock.
Oh, yes.
The president of the Congress who signs the Declaration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So famously.
Famously. Yes. Famously.
John Hancock.
John Hancock. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So that's a fantastic contribution to the show. Mm-hmm. And also Martha Jefferson and Abigail Adams. Mm-hmm. So two of those leading ladies are represented.
Do you get to see Hancock put paper to pen? Do you actually get to see him sign it?
Well, you get to see him sign it. We don't have like a projector or anything.
No, right. Yeah, but
showing it. But yes, we do.
Does he do it with a flourish?
Yes, he does.
It's called out.
Yes, it is very much called out.
Yeah, it's a famous signature, that one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the full cast. Who else is behind the scenes that we need to credit?
Yes, there's so many. So we have Connie, obviously, who's directing, and she also choreographed this. We have Mariah, our stage manager. We have Chuck, our assistant stage manager. We have Vicky Turnbull on costumes, whose husband has also got dragged into it and is hilarious.
He is. Mm-hmm.
As the sort of congressional drunk, but also sort of congressional mascot as well, always calling for more rum. Guys, help me. Who else do we have?
Judy Morgan, Connie's mom, was a set designer.
Set is
set
incredible.
Director.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for everybody to see the set.
Yeah.
We have set, costume. Oh, lights. Sarah Morgan, obviously, coming back, repeating her role. Rory. Yeah. Oh, and Klein. Sorry. Yeah. Klein New York, who was mentioned earlier. Aaron Norling, who's playing John Hancock, recommended him. He does sound over at Church of the Nazarene, and he has been a fantastic addition to the Honey Pearl family, and hopefully we can keep him for future productions. He's done a fantastic job with tracks and EQing everybody. It's just been, we've been incredibly lucky.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, there's Connie. She's peeking in. I wonder if she wants to say something.
She might have more people
somebody I totally
missed, and I don't want to miss anybody.
Yeah. Okay, have you gentlemen all done musicals before?
No.
Just one.
You've done one. Stefan has done one.
I've done two in high school.
Okay.
So I did Camelot and Oklahoma.
Okay. In high school, though?
In high school.
And that was not, I don't want to call out your age.
Oh, but I'm 40 years old.
Yeah, okay. That wasn't just yesterday.
I am about John Adams' age. I'm 41, and John Adams is 41.
Oh, so. Well, that's...
This is Eric's first show.
That's correct. I'm 42, and it's my first musical.
This is his first show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. But you knew you were coming out for a musical, and you did it anyway.
Well, I started doing some singing lessons back in around January and over at the conservatory, which is great. I really like them.
I mean, listen to his voice, everybody, please.
Yeah, sounds great.
Shout out to Brenda Rutledge. She did a great job with me. Uh-huh. And Katie's done a great job with me, too. Shout out to Katie for, I think the whole cast would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just really, really great. But yeah, I kind of decided, I know Connie and Stefan just through friendships, and Stefan encouraged me to do the tryouts, and I did it, and I've been enjoying it a lot. And one thing I'll say is my kids really enjoy all the music as well. They sing it all the time.
Has this been like a goal of yours, like a lifelong dream to be
on stage? No, I'm a software engineer.
Okay.
But... Him and me both.
There's a lot of techies behind the scenes here.
But it was just something that seemed like a fun idea.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys sound great. I'm sure the show is going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It is.
Yeah.
One more time, 1776 tonight at 7 o'clock.
Thank you.
The 3rd, Friday at 7 o'clock. Saturday the 4th at 7 o'clock. And Sunday the 5th at 3 p.m., doors open at 45 minutes before the performance at the Panetta Theater. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get Paul in here from the festival at Sandpoint. We're going to play a music track. Before you guys go, anything else? Anything we forgot to ask? Anything else you want to say?
We forgot to add the
Katie Skidmore.
July 4th, we have the pre-funk dinner at the Panetta, at the Little Panetta.
Ooh.
So you can pay to see just the pre-funk concert and dinner with Joe Davi. Symphonic Soul, I believe, is how he describes.
Right.
So as Connie says, you can see two original American art forms. You can see jazz and you can see the American musical on 4th of July. So you can either package those all together and have it be one ticket, or you can just go see the pre-funk and then maybe go to the fireworks later.
That's a benefit dinner for Thin
Line. Yes, for Thin Line.
Yeah.
Cool.
For veterans and local organizations. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
On July 4th. More information is at honeypearlproductions.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's great.
And tickets are also at thepanada.org, plus at the door, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jim, we're going to hear an appropriate tune here by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
This is from the soundtrack to the George Clooney movie, Up in the Air. This is a funky version of This Land Is Your Land, written by Woody Guthrie.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California.
This Land Is Your Land, a Woody Guthrie song. That's really a jazzed up version of it by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. And we are now in the studio with
Paul Gunter and Caroline Hawkins. And I don't have your titles in front of me. Paul's.
Thank you. We just
did this like what 2 weeks ago, and I've completely spaced it out.
A week ago.
I feel like that's what I said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A week ago, and it was production and education manager.
You are correct.
Caroline is community and development director.
Director of Community and Strategy.
Strategy.
So many words.
Okay. All right. And you're here from the Festival at Sandpoint, a nonprofit organization that most famously puts on a 2-week series of concerts in the summer every year for now. It's the 43rd year of these concerts. And we got the lineup sitting here in front of us, and we're also going to talk a little bit about tips and tricks for the concert goer, the festival goer. Okay, I like that on the sheet that you've provided, festival hacks. Yes.
Festival hacks, tips from locals and staff.
As a millennial myself, I love a good hack.
I thought that you might.
That's right. I live by life hacks. Okay, so we've got where do you want to start? Do we do a quick rundown and then to the tips and tricks and hacks?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that sounds like a great plan.
Okay. We've got Andy Grammer with Walk Off the Earth kicking things off on Thursday, July 30th. How do we do this? Comments? Comments from you?
That was an accurate statement. Thank you. Yes. All right. Andy Grammer, Walk Off the Earth. Walk Off the Earth has been on our stage once before.
Yeah.
They're coming back.
Good music and cool to look at, too.
Mm-hmm. Fun to watch, fun to listen to, high-energy show. Mm-hmm. Great opening night.
Those tickets are going pretty quick. That's definitely our top seller, so that's the big one.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Yeah. I don't think I would have predicted that.
Yeah.
I know, on a Thursday.
Okay. Aaron Lewis and the Stateliners on Friday, July 31st, the second night of the festival. Okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Once again, an accurate statement.
All right, very good.
Two for two.
And that's going to be a country show. One of the country shows. There's another one coming up later as well. Portugal the Man is on Saturday night, August the 1st. And this is the one I think I would have predicted as the big seller. Well, maybe this is the one I would have predicted as the big seller, but they're behind Andy Grammer with Walk Off the Earth.
Yep. I think I'm predicting Portugal the Man as kind of the sleeper that people might know one or two songs, but I think that concert will be stellar.
Yeah. Feel It Still, Live in the Moment. This is an indie rock show. In Portugal, period, the man is the name of the band. On Sunday, August 2nd, you guys are bringing back Community Night, a great hit from last year.
Great hit from last year. And yeah, to critical acclaim, we're back for round two today on a Sunday.
Hey, yeah. Sydney Dale is a Coeur d'Alene singer-songwriter who's great. You may have seen her open for Kobe Calais at the 2024 Summer Series. She played last year for the Little Live Radio Hour.
That she did.
Yeah. And yeah, she was one of the highlights of the year, not to take anything away from any of the other fine performers we had, but Sydney Dale.
She jumped into that show at the festival last year, day of.
Yeah.
Got in touch with her the morning of the show, and they mobilized and put together a band of musicians that had never played in that format before.
Wow.
And did a great show.
Yeah. She's wonderful. And at the time, now she's reached the age of majority, I believe. But she was like a kid when she played the last time on the festival stage.
Yeah. First time we saw her in Sandpoint. It's like, wait a minute. Who's this kid?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
And Hannah Meehan is also playing at Community Night. She's wonderful and based right here in town. Sandpoint folk singer, songwriter.
And local music teacher. She's in the music scene all the time.
And you've got Joseph as the headliner on that one. They're from Coeur d'Alene? Spokane? Coeur d'Alene?
Oregon,
I think.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. Okay. Okay.
It's just like South Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they're folk and indie pop. And that is the Sunday, August the 2nd. And then coming back, you take a couple days off. Not that many. Literally a couple days off.
Just a couple this year.
Mm-hmm. And then you're back on Wednesday, August 5th with
one bourbon, one scotch.
One beer.
You know how it goes.
I do know. Yep. I think that's my favorite of their songs. George Thorogood and the Destroyers with the Robert Cray Band on Wednesday, August 5th.
Both of whom are returnees to the stage in different capacities. Never together, but this time they are.
And Thorogood is he celebrating some kind of anniversary this year? Is he
presumably?
Yeah, okay. He's been performing for a long time, and I imagine that one's also a pretty good seller, would be my guess.
That one's our top two.
Okay. And then on Thursday, August 6th, the band is Midland.
Woo!
Country music.
Country.
Out of Texas, maybe?
I believe so.
Okay. And Exciting news, the openers. Camden Morris and Remy Garrison are opening for that show. Camden Morris is a local guy. I think he's out of Hope. And he's playing on these airwaves on July 21st.
Tell me more, Jack.
For the Little Live Radio Hour at The Hive. That's going to be a free show. And he'll play for us at 7 o'clock. And you can come down and see it, or you can tune in if you want. It's
and
fun
what's
to
the
tune
date,
in.
Date on that?
The 21st. It's a Tuesday night. Tuesday, July 21st, 7 o'clock, 88.5 KRFY. The location is The Hive in Sandpoint. Come down and see it in person, which is always more fun if you can. Just try to be there by 7 because that's when we start the show. You know, we gotta stick to the schedule. We got broadcasting to consider.
KRFY.org or wherever you choose to stream your radio.
That's right.
Find us.
Switchfoot with Ethan Burdick comes up on Friday, August 7th. And that is Ethan Burdick is a new announcement. Let's see. Switchfoot is alternative rock is what they're listed as. Dare You to Move. That's right. I remember
you
that.
You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that
as
one.
As a millennial, you love a good hack and a good Switchfoot album.
I sure do.
Yeah, you do.
And Ethan Burdick, he's in bold here on my cheat sheet. Is
That means you have to say it louder.
Ethan.
There it
Burdick.
Is.
Burdick. And he's...
he's hard of hearing.
He's new. That's a new announcement. Who's Ethan Burdick? He plays with Switchfoot.
He is new to us entirely. He's never been on our stage or in our realm of the music world. I think he's out of Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And he fits that alt kind of genre, mid-high energy, good music. It'll be perfect for an outdoor show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Springfield, Saturday, August 8th. Another good seller,
yep.
I'm guessing.
Another good seller, Jesse's girl.
Yep. My question is, especially with an artist like Rick Springfield, is when does he play Jesse's Girl? Do you get it out of the way right away? Do you open
the weird
with
thing is
Girl?
He does it every other song for the entire show so many times.
Yeah. You imagine you either do it very last
or you go Eagles and you open with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just play Hotel California when you walk out and then people are like, okay, we got that out of the way.
That's right.
Can we do the rest of the show?
Yeah. See, what he could do is do the whole show and not do Jesse's Girl and then like charge $15 to everybody who's there and say, all right, you want to see it? All right. Pass the hat. We're going to do
world's biggest tip jar.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he wouldn't do that because Rick Springfield is a nice guy and he's playing at the festival at Sandpoint and you will probably hear him perform his hit, Jesse's Girl, which was like the biggest hit of 1982 or whatever.
Right when we opened.
Right, there you go. And then we close it out with How to Train Your Dragon 2 in concert. That means you got the movie on the big screen and you've got a live orchestra, the largest live orchestra in festival history.
That it is.
Performing the score as you watch the film.
Yep. Cool. And they just had their world premiere in Sydney. Is that right? This
last weekend.
Last weekend.
25th, 6th, and 7th.
Sydney,
Montana?
Australia?
Australia.
Whoa! Yeah, we will be the third performance ever of How to Train Your Dragon 2 live in concert.
Okay.
The second one is happening on the 18th in San Diego and then Sandpoint, Idaho.
Huh.
I know, we were almost the U.S. premiere.
Dang it.
Darn San Diego.
We're still on the podium.
Okay. All right, it's 9 o'clock, so you're listening to the 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. Ponderay. That's right.
And Bird Note will come up, so all your...
Yeah. Don't stay
Bird
tuned
Note,
for Bird
devotees,
Note. But we're talking.
There.
We're talking right now to Paul Gunter and Caroline Hawkins from the festival at Sandpoint, and we have to get to the hacks, the festival hacks. Okay,
take it away.
What's your number one tip, Caroline? What do you tell the for an insider, somebody who's listening right now? They're probably local. What do you recommend?
I recommend the shuttle. It's a free service. A lot of people want to get parked right up front, but the shuttle drops you off right up front so you don't have to lug your stuff from halfway across town.
Mm.
And that's brought by Spot Bus. And it is such a great
Easy. Where does one pick that up?
They park at the high school parking lot.
High school parking lot?
Yep, and then they take you right to the front gate.
And when do they start shuttling?
4:30 p.m.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then they shuttle you after the concert rather than having you walk back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep.
Nice. How's the exit work? Or and also how many shuttles are there? Do you know?
They have, depending on the show, they run 2 to 4 buses in 15-minute increments from the venue to the parking lot.
Okay.
And they'll run it after the show, usually till 11:30 or so, depending on when the show stops, but they won't leave anybody stranded either. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Till everybody's taken care of.
Yeah.
All right. So use the free shuttle. That's a good tip. And yeah, parking is impossible. I mean, it's possible, but you always end up walking.
It's neighborhood parking.
And, yeah. Yeah. You're on the street and you're always walking from a mile.
With shuttles and ADA parking, we have to block off part of Ontario every day. So it's, Stay away from it with a car. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Pedal your bike.
Okay. Pedal your bike. That's right.
One of my favorites. We just started partnering with Pop last year, and they do a bicycle valet.
I used it last year.
Tell me about it. I didn't use it.
It's marvelous. Oh, yeah. It's great. Yeah, you bring it in, you feel like a rock star. They take your bike from you. I don't believe they charge you anything. I think you are allowed to give a donation, but you don't have to. And you don't have to really worry about anything. You don't have to bring your bike lock and worry about it getting stolen or finding a place for it or anything like that. They got a nice spot for it.
It's manned the whole time. It's fenced in and secure. Yeah.
It's very cool. Okay, so I recommend the bike valet. I used it last year and had no problems with it at all. Easy. The next hack is to pack a picnic. Yes. That is a good hack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lord knows the food is good at the festival that's
provided.
Absolutely. But the trick of bringing a picnic, you can bring whatever you want, food-wise.
With a lot of the changes we've had over the last years, that's a misconception still a lot. You can bring your own food.
Yes.
Yes.
No, you can't bring in alcohol or you can't bring in outside beverages.
Correct. No outside liquids.
But you can bring...
Including water.
Correct. You can bring an empty water bottle. That's my next favorite one on here.
Okay.
We'll roll right into it. You can bring your food. You can bring an empty water container up to 32 ounces. We have free water bottle filling stations across the venue. Nobody will go unhydrated. There's always a free option for water. You can, of course, buy drinks while you're inside. Bring an empty water bottle, bring food, or if you're one of those people that just wants to get through security fast, don't bring anything.
Yeah.
Leave your gun at home.
And you can get it all. Yes, please. Secure that at home before you come to the concert.
Like
the rest, we all have to, let's all just do it and be cool.
Yeah.
And then come on down. We have everything you need, all the way down to rental chairs.
Very cool.
If you don't want to sit on the ground, you can rent a chair. We've got you covered.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. It says, looking to pack light, free up your hands and get through the line. By having free hands? Oh, I suppose then you don't have to go to they don't have to look at your luggage, so to speak.
Correct.
Walk right through.
Take out some keys, walk through.
Uh-huh.
Welcome to the festival.
Cool. So that's a... That would be easy. Yeah. All right. We already mentioned the water bottle that you can fill up at the free water stations. You have changed the bar a little bit this year. So this is the second year of no outside alcohol. And what have we learned after doing it once? What have we changed?
We just kind of changed the layout. So the flow is better for our service and we can spread out that capacity a little bit between the two bars. So we'll have one on the south end like we always do, just south of the grandstands.
Mm-hmm.
Our second grab-and-go bar will be on the north side of the venue. And then we'll also have a grab-and-go option this year inside of Festival Street.
Ah.
So when you're back there, if you're waiting for tacos or a burger, whatever it is, you don't have to go to a separate location to grab a drink.
Okay. the you can get full service at the two bars, and then the grab and go is for cans, and that that was fun. I mean, that was exciting last year to have to go and stand in line. The lines were pretty long. So you think we've shortened up the lines a little bit?
Yep. Streamlined the layout of the bars themselves and the location and the offerings.
Yeah.
We have a new bar team this year, and they have a lot of experience in bar service specifically and restaurant ownership.
Yeah.
So, yeah, coming in from a different angle this year and spreading out the options and giving people an option inside Festival Street to kind of spread out some of that load as well.
Yeah. All right. You can check out all the prohibited items before you get there on the website, festivalatsandpoint.org.
.com.
Yeah, that's what I said. All right. .com. And, yeah. Oh, here's a little hack. Bring a layer. You'll want to bring a sweater. Yeah. Once that sun goes down, it does cool off a little bit, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And it says we also have crew necks for purchase at our merch booths if you need one.
It can get a little chilly.
It can get a little chilly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Children age 5 or younger are free. Love that. They come early and enter with the ADA crew if you need a little extra time getting into the venue or need assistance.
Yeah, come early, check in with our crew at the front gate. Mm-hmm. They're the people under the big white tent right in front of the main gate on Florence and Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that can assist you getting in to our ADA section a little bit early before the mass of people come in.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that for every show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like this one. This is something we've never really talked about before. If you're out on the boat listening, make sure that you have your boat lights on at all times. That's smart.
Yep.
Let's boat safely.
Yep.
Yes.
Practice safe boating and watch for others.
And if you're in the park, cheer loud.
That is cool, though. That's always been one of my favorite parts of the festival is the crowd of boats that gathers right outside the venue. You can hear it very well and chill out on your boat. People do it for every show. And it's
our outfill line array of speakers just carries right over the turf and right onto the river.
It's a cool experience. Have you ever thought of getting a ferry or something like that? Just having that be part of the festival experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe just a floating raft. Mm-hmm. People can swim.
I don't know if we've officially trademarked it yet. So, you know, be careful out there, listeners. But bands on a barge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. But you can bring a cooler and you can get there. You can get there early, lay out a blanket and hang out at the festival.
A soft-sided cooler. Something that is collapsible. No hard-sided coolers.
Okay.
In the event of a weather evacuation or something where thousands of people need to move quickly, we've streamlined the available items that you can and can't bring in.
Gotcha.
And hard-sided coolers was one of the ones that had to go. It's been a few years on that one. That's on the list.
Uh-huh.
Big wagons, all the things that might get in the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've got birders out there who are waiting anxiously for bird note. Anything else we've got to...
Is this our last time having Carolyn and Paul in before the festival?
I think it is.
Because one of the questions I want to ask, and this might take the next hour, is, we have Portugal the Man, Indie Rock. We have Switchfoot. Alternative rock. We have Rick Springfield pop rock. And then we have Andy Grammer, who's just pop.
Hmm.
And the categories sort of baffle me, but we could go in forever about indie as opposed to alternative.
Mm-hmm. It's like saying Americana. Nobody really...
Yep. Okay.
The umbrella is so big now.
We throw out those terms and hoping it means something to different groups.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Cool. Mm-hmm. What I find interesting about all this is I can remember way back when in January, February, talking about the festival, and now here it is. This month. It's going to happen. What did we say, like with the previous group of 1776 people, we said break a leg.
Mm-hmm.
What do we say to the festival putter honors?
I'm thinking about that.
Okay.
Hold on, I'll come up with something. You guys got something. Yeah, what do you...
Good luck.
Yeah.
I hope it all unfolds without a hitch.
Uh-huh. There
we go. Well, thank you.
There was a time you could say, good luck and... collapse a tent or something like that. But the tent isn't there anymore.
For that reason.
It's
in here. Uh-huh. It's in our hearts.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having us. Sharing
all the tips for the festival. And
we'll come back afterwards and
post all our war stories. What did you learn?
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn that while it's still fresh?
That's right.
I think that's important rather than wait till it's January, and you've forgotten pretty much everything that you might have learned.
Who was here? We did a
hello? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.